Today's daf is Pesachim daf Chav Ches. We are holding on daf Chav Zayin and Beis. We started to discuss where Rabbi Yehuda knows that Ein Birchami Tzolos Reifa. Today's shir is sponsored by Divi Kupfer in my honor. Thank you very much again for the sponsorship today. There are two topics in today's daf. We have Amar Aleph is one topic, Amar Beis is another topic. The entire Amar Aleph is going to discuss the method of being mevar chametz, specifically according to the chachamim, the mefar v'zora l'ruach, they crumble it up and throw it into the wind. So it says oh mataliyam, or throw it into the ocean. What does that mean, or throw it into the ocean? Does it mean or crumble it up and throw it into the ocean, or does it mean just throw it into the ocean? You don't need to crumble it up. That's Amud Aleph. Amud Beis, really starting from the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph, is going to begin the discussion of chametz sha'avar lav haPesach. We're going to have a statement in the Mishnah about chametz shavar lav pesach, that there's a difference between chametz of a goy shavar lav pesach and chametz of a Jew shavar lav pesach, and then the entire rest of the daf we're going to go through a brisa that has three shitos in Tanaim that each have different attitudes about chametz shavar lav pesach, what each one is based on, where they find their shitos in the psukim, all to lead up to the question at the very end of the daf, and we'll hopefully get there and we'll leave with a cliffhanger today, all to lead up to the question that none of these three shitos in Tanaim seem to line up with our Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't seem to go according to any of those shitos. So those are our two topics. Yesterday we began to figure out Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein bir chametz al sreifa. So the Gemara had suggested maybe Rabbi Yehuda learns it from a kal v'chomer from Nosar. That if Nosar has no isur of owning Nosar, there's no isur bali rabbi matze, and nevertheless you have to burn it. So chametz, for sure you should have to burn because there's an isur bali rabbi matze. We see we treat chametz more stringently. The Gemara did not accept that kal v'chomer at face value because the Gemara says if you learn from a kal v'chomer, this is against the rules of kal v'chomer. The rule of kal v'chomer is kol din sha'atadan tchilas l'hachmir v'sof l'hakel einu din. Any kal v'chomer that is ultimately going to lead you to be more makel in the chomer case is not a good kal v'chomer. And over here we're trying to say chametz is the more chomer case, and by applying this kal v'chomer we're going to end up in certain circumstances being more makel in the chamor case. What circumstances are going to be more makel in the chamor case? What if you can't find any firewood and you're therefore unable to burn the chametz? What are you going to do then? So if you hold Ein bir chametz al sreifa, you're probably not going to do anything because there's no sense in doing anything else. It's not a mitzvah to do anything else. So it's going to turn out that you're going to be more makel by leaving the chametz around. So such a kal v'chomer cannot be a viable kal v'chomer. So the Tosfos of here writes that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. So if the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, sounds like the taina that the Rabbanan have against Rabbi Yehuda, that you can't be done a kal v'chomer, that sofa lahakel is not a good taina. Meaning maybe that's not really a rule by kal v'chomer. Maybe really you can be done a kal v'chomer that's sofa lahakel. The problem is that there is a parallel machlokes in Maseches Sukkah daf lamed vavam beis. In Sukkah, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're allowed to be mesachich only with the Dalad Minim Shabalulav. An unusual Shita, we don't normally assume this way. Rabbi Yehuda's Shita in Tanayim, that what can be used for Kashrus Chach, so we're used to thinking what can be used, anything that grows from the ground, not Mekabal Tuma, right? But Rabbi Yehuda, Psolas Garden Viekev is the Gemara's Drasha, that anything that's just pieces of wood. But Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is no, only something that comes from the Dalad Minim Shabalulav. Only the Dalad Minim Shabalulav can be used as Chach. So when he's done a kal v'chomer, kal v'chomer is very simple. He says lulav is einu noig b'leilos k'biyamim. Lulav we only do during the daytime, not at the nighttime, and still it's limited to those dalad minim. So sukkah, which is noig b'leilos k'biyamim, sukkah, which we even do at nighttime, should for sure only be limited to those dalad minim. The chachamim respond to Rabbi Yehuda and they say no. Kol din shatadon tchilas v'hachmir v'sof v'lahakel einu din. That's going to come to a tremendous kula because what's going to happen? If you can't find dalad minim shabalulav to make your schach out of, then you're going to end up not sitting in a sukkah. So l'chora, we should pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning, if that tain of the Rabbanan is not correct, if there is really no such rule about kal v'chomer, about a kal v'chomer shetchilas l'achmir v'sof l'hakel, we should pass on like Rabbi Yehuda over there. Obviously, we don't. The Gemara over there in Daf Yiral from Sechus Sukkah says that we assume like the Rabbanan that a sukkah is kosher even with other meaning. And the Gemara talks, some of the Gemara talks, Hidla le'asagefen, if they take a grapevine and they run it over the sukkah, then they cut the grapevine from the ground. So all you need to do is shake it a little bit so that you do a maisa of putting the schach on. But a grapevine is kosher l'schach. You don't need to have one of the dalad minim of the lulav. So that's the kasha that the Rishonim deal with. Why over here do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, and over there we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Okay, we'll leave it as a kasha. There are some fascinating answers. We'll leave it as a kasha for now. So the Gemara says, okay, so if we're going to accept this rejection of Rabbi Yehuda's kal v'chomer, so Rabbi Yehuda needs to find somewhere else to learn that ein bir chametz ela sreifa. So we started to see yesterday, chazer Rabbi Yehuda, I don't know if we got to, but chazer Rabbi Yehuda v'danu din acher, about 10-12 lines before the end of the page. So Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, I'll come up with a different limud. Nosar asar b'achila, v'chametz asar b'achila. Let's just apply. The halacha by nosar is that you can't eat it. The halacha by chametz is that you can't eat it. Man nosar b'sreifa, v'chametz b'sreifa. Not a kavachomer, a mematzinu, a binyanav. There's no reason to say nosar should be any different than chametz. Nosar you have to burn, chametz you have to burn also. Samar lo nevela tochiach, shasur b'achila v'enetu nesreifa. So the chametz said, no, there are plenty of things that are asr ba'achila and yet don't need to be burnt, like nevela, let's say. You're not allowed to eat nevela and still you don't have to burn it. So don't tell me just because nosar is asr ba'achila and you're chayiv b'sreifa, therefore everything that's asr ba'achila you have to burn. It's not true. So amar lahen, hefresh is the difference. Nosar asr ba'achila u'behana'a. Chametz asr ba'achila u'behana'a. No, chametz is more comparable to nosar than it is to nevela, because nosar is asr ba'achila and asr ba'ana, and so is chametz. Nevela is only asr ba'achila, not asr ba'ana, says Mar Mandos, and therefore Mandos are tolan sreifa. Av chametz tolan sreifa. That's the comparison. So Amr Lo, the chametz said back to Rabbi Yehuda, Sharan iskol yochiach. There are other things that are asr both ba'achila and ba'ana'a, and are still not chayiv b'sreifa. By like Sharan Iskal, Shasa Bachila Ubana, Venotan Srefa, Tasa Bachila, Tasa Bana, but it does not require burning. Samalahan Hefresh, he said, no, there's something that makes Chametz more like Nosar than it is like Sharan Iskal. Nosar Asa Bachila Ubana, Venosh Kares. Nosar is Asa Bachila and Bana, and the punishment is Kares. The Chametz Asa Bachila Bana, Venosh Kares, and the same is true by Chametz. So, Man nosar b'sreifa, af chametz b'sreifa. So just like nosar there's a chiyuv to burn, chametz also there should be a chiyuv to burn. Amr lo, the chametz said, no. Chelvo shel sharan niskol yochiach. There are other things also that are asa b'achila and b'ana and are enoshkares. And still you don't have to burn. The chelev of a sharan niskol. Why does the chelev of a sharan niskol have a different din than the rest of the sharan niskol? The rest of the sharan niskol is not enoshkares, because chelev in general is always enoshkares. So it just happens to be the two isurim meet each other, the isur of chelev and the isur of sharan niskol, in the chelev of a sharan niskol. The chelev is enoshkares. The sharan niskol is asa b'ana. Chelev on its own is not asubana, it's only asur ba'achila. So between the two of them, between the combination of factors, the chelev of Shar Niskal is asur ba'achila, asur bana, and enosh kares. So, and nevertheless doesn't need to be burned, right? So shasur ba'achila bana, enosh kares, ve'ein talon tsreifa. So chazer Rabbi Yehuda v'dano d'nachar. So Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, let's try again. And he says as follows, Nosar yeshno bebaltel siru, v'chametz bebaltel siru. Nosar has an isser to leave over beyond its time, that is the very isser of Nosar, and chametz has an isser to leave over beyond its time. Ma nosar b'chametz, av chametz b'sreifa. So just like Nosar is b'sreifa, so too chametz is b'sreifa. Now, I don't know why this is din acher, chazer v'dan of din acher, l'chora, this is not a din acher. So Tosas writes, in the name of Riva, meaning, what are we doing? Rabbi Yehuda was learning from Nosar the whole time. And everything, we just kept poking holes by saying, no, there's something else that's just like Nosar and Chametz. Nosar and Chametz aren't exclusive on an island to themselves where you can only compare the two to each other. And Rabbi Yehuda kept on saying, no, but there's another factor that only Nosar and Chametz have that nothing else has. There's the Yisra'ina, there's the Chiv Kares. He kept on coming up with another factor that only they share in common. L'chora, that's all he did over here also. Meaning, Granted, no sar chametz and chilav sharniskal, all of the din that asabach yilasabach na and chayiv karis. But no sar and chametz are the only ones that are bebal tosiru. So why is that called danu din acher? It's just another detail that he added in. So Tosfos writes in the name of the Riva, the reason it's called din acher is because previously Rabbi Yehuda compared chametz to no sar in that they're both asabach yilah and ba'na and chayiv karis. Whereas over here the dimyon is only in the fact that it's bebal tosiru, that it's we're no longer paying any attention to the fact that they have the other things in common. Meaning, whereas previously we weren't just saying, oh, they both are chayiv karis, and therefore every chayiv karis is a chayiv shreifa. It was the fact that it had all of those things in common. It had the Yisra chila, the Yisra na, and the chayiv karis. Over here, once we come up with the idea of bal tosiru, nothing else has the din of bal tosiru. So we only need bal tosiru. We could forget all of the other commonalities that they have. So that's why it's called a din acher. So anyway, so that's how we learn. That's how Rabbi Yehuda wants to learn that ein bir chametz ela shreifa. So says the Gemara, but wait a second, Amrlo, Asham Tali Vichato Sofa Baal Safik Tvarecha Yochichu. According to your own Shita about an Asham Tali and a Chato Sofa Baal Safik, it will turn out that you don't have a good limud. Why? Shehin Bibal Tosiru. Sha'anu Om Bisrefa Vata Omer Bikvura. They also have an Isser to leave over. They're also Bibal Tosiru. And now, for us, we think you would have a very good source and that wouldn't be a problem because we tackle hold that those things need Srefa. We tackle that they do have to be burnt, and therefore you'd be right. Anything that's Bibal Tosiru needs Srefa. But you yourself, Rabbi Yehuda, hold that it's Bikvura, that it doesn't require Srefa. So if you yourself hold it doesn't require Srefa, that blows up your whole Limud. Then you can't learn anything. So Shasak Rabbi Yehuda had no response to that. They got him from his own teaching. Amar Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef commented about the fact that they were able to chop him from something that he himself had said, Hainu Damri Inchi, this is the expression that people say, Kafa Dechata Nagra, the spoon that was carved out by a carpenter, Begava Nisrav Chardala. He's gonna burn his mouth on mustard when he eats from that spoon, meaning he's the one that made the spoon, and now he's suffering from his own spoon that he made. Amar Abayi said, no, that's not the mashal. The mashal is like this. Sadna Besadni Yasiv Madvil Yadei Mishtal, that a guy who makes the blocks that they keep a prisoner's hands and feet in so that he can't move, so that he's immobilized when he's caught as a gun of the carpenter that made those blocks that he's stuck in, he's going to be put in those blocks when he's caught as a gun. So he's going to suffer from his own handiwork. Rava says, no, that's not the mashal. The mashal is like this. Gira begiri miktol madvil yadi mishtalim. That the guy who fashioned the arrow, who built the arrow, who carved out the arrow, he's going to be the one that gets killed by his own arrow, that his own handiwork is going to do him in. So obviously the kasha is, okay, everybody's saying the same thing, that you do something and you're going to end up suffering from your own handiwork, like Haman building the gallows, right? So you end up at the irony of a person suffering from something that he himself had made. So the Ben Yoyada raises this kasha. He says, what are the mishalim in general? If I got into Gemaras, we have to, or with Mishalim in the Gemaras, we always have to be, the Chazal were very precise. They weren't Stam saying clever things. They were very precise in the types of Mishalim that they used. So the Ben Yoyada suggests the following. He suggests that in general, when you chap somebody based on his own statement, there are three levels of how badly you can get him based on his own statement. Number one, he says, sometimes you have a chacham will say a dvar alacha, and the chacham are going to be sosa that dvar alacha from the svara that chacham himself had said. But nevertheless, it's not such a strong kasha on him, because to totally reject his shita, it's just we'll leave it as a dochak because he said a svara. So you take a svara, you give a svara, whatever, you could come up with another svara to be mechalik. So that's what Rav Yosef is saying, the mashal of the chardal. The chardal is something that, yeah, it may burn his mouth, but it's not fatal, and you would still eat the chardal bedochak. It's just not as pleasant, but one would eat it bedochak. You just don't eat as much of it. So that would be one type of rejection. Another type, he says, type two would be, a chacham says a dvar halacha, and they have a strong kasha against him from its svara that he himself was mechadesh, but the kasha is docha the halacha legamri. It's not just that it makes it dochak, it completely rejects the halacha that the chacham originally had said, but the whole kasha is only mitzad a svara. So such a kasha would still have, you'd still have some hope, because you could still come up with another svara, with a svara chadasha, to be mitaretz the kasha from the original svara. So he says that's more like the carpenter who built the blocks that that locks up the prisoner. That right now his life is terrible. It's not like the chadzel where he's still eating bedochak. Right now he's captured and there's nothing that he could do. But there's still hope. Someone can come and release him, and he could still undo what was done. Then he said the third case is where someone associated dvar halacha from svara that the chacham himself said, but that svara is not just stam, a svara, a baich svara the guy came up with, but there's a raya, there's a hechrich for the svara, where there's no way to undo that svara. It's glat and it's got a raya. So such a mashal is the mashal of the arrow. The arrow, once it's shot, there's nothing you can do. You cannot pull back the arrow. So he's finished. The question is, so which one is it? Meaning, so that's what they're arguing about. L'chora, they're arguing about how badly they got Rabbi Yehuda. And there may be a nafkamina in this machlokas. Can we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning, if you say that they got like the third mashal, like Rava says, that it's like the arrow and he's done and there's no saving him, so in l'chora we shouldn't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. When Shasak Rabbi Yehuda himself was quiet, so no, he was quiet, so he loses. But if you say maybe like the first way of saying that it was a svara, but maybe there's some way. So Shasak Rabbi Yehuda was quiet and he didn't have a response. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the halacha is not going to be that way. Maybe we could defend him still. Maybe someone else could come along with a svara that would defend him. In Deres Eliyahu, he writes that even though Rabbi Yehuda is Shasak, he was lo chazar bo. It was Shasak. He didn't respond, but he wasn't chazar. He still had a kabbalah that we learned it out from Nosar. Somehow his Kabbalah was, he couldn't explain the Kabbalah, he couldn't explain where he had, how that Mesorah works, but so he was Shasak, because he couldn't explain it, but he wasn't going to abandon his Mesorah based on that Kasha. So the Chara, that's the Machlokas, the way the Ben Yoyada sees it, that's the Machlokas that we have over here. We mentioned two Karbanos over here, we mentioned Chatas Hofa Bala Safek, we mentioned Asham Talu. Minchas Chinuch just points out, even though both of those things come as a result of Safek, there's a difference between the two of them. When it comes to Chatas Ha'of, if a woman finds out, when does Chatas Ha'of Baal Safek, a Safek Leda, let's say. A woman's not sure if she's a Yoleda, so she brings Chatas Ha'of Baal Safek. Let's say she finds out before the Hazah of the Karban that it wasn't a Leda, and that she was really Potter from a Karban the whole time. So that Oaf is now going to be Mutar Ba'ana. It's like Nocher Ma'akir Ba'azara. It's like Stam, an Avail that happened to have been made in the Azara, because they do Malika on an oaf, they don't do Shechita, so it's a Nevela, it's not kosher meat, but it's like any other Nevela. It would be Asher Ba'achila and it would be Mutter Ba'ana. We don't assume that it has Kedusha. By in Asham Talui, where the guy is Libo Dava Alav, the person is concerned about his Avera that he violated, so he's Gomer Umaktish. Because of that concern of the Avera that he may have violated, he is Gomer Umaktish, that animal, regardless of what happens. So even if you find out later that he didn't do the Avera, that the piece of meat that he ate was not the Chelev, it was the Kasher piece of meat, nevertheless, the animal is still going to have Kedusha. Good. Says Gemara Vayter now. V'chamo mefarav v'zor l'ruach. Chacham say you mefarav v'zor l'ruach u'matal yam. So yibaylu heichi kamer. What are the chacham saying? Mefarav v'zor l'ruach u'mefarav u'matal yam. Odil mefarav v'zor l'ruach avu matal yam beinei. Are the chacham saying you can crumble it up and throw it into the wind, or crumble it up and throw it into the ocean? Or are they saying crumble up and throw it into the wind, or just throw it into the ocean without crumbling it up? Utnanami gavi avol d'zara ki agavnim. We have a very similar question when it comes to a Mishnah about how to get rid of avodah zarah. Rabbi Yossi Yomer Shochik v'zara l'ruach u'matal yam. Rabbi Yossi says grind it up and throw it into the wind or the ocean. So v'bayilu heichi kamer. We ask the same kasha over there. Shochik v'zara l'ruach v'shochik u'matal yam. Odilma shochik v'zara l'ruach avu matal yam beirei. Doesn't mean grind it up and throw it into the wind or grind it up and throw it into the ocean, or it doesn't mean grind it up and throw it into the wind, or just throw it in the ocean without grinding it up. So same kasha in both places, by Avodah Zarah and by Chametz. So Amar Rabba, Mistavra Avodah Zarah de Liyam HaMelech, Ka'azla lo ba'ishchikei. So it's most mistaver that Avodah Zarah, which goes to the Yam HaMelech, which is being thrown into the Yam HaMelech, does not require shchika, does not need to be ground up. Chametz to l'sharna haros ka'azil ba'ipirur. But chametz, where it doesn't have to be thrown into the Yam HaMelech, how do we know that it doesn't have to be thrown into the Yam HaMelech? Because it never says so in the Mishnah, it just says liyam. But by Avodah Zarah, it said specifically liyam HaMelech. So chametz, which goes into the other naharos, so does require pirur. What's the difference between Yam HaMelech and other naharos? So Rashi explains that Yam HaMelech, there are no boats that are passing by. So if you can throw something into the Yam HaMelech, no one's ever going to retrieve it. So when it comes to Avodah Zarah, you're throwing it into the Yam HaMelech, it's gone. You don't need to grind it up. But when it comes to chametz, you're throwing it into any other yam. So a boat might come by, and a boat might pick it up. The Achronim point out that from the Rambam, it doesn't sound this way, that Yam HaMelech, meaning according to Rashi, it sounds like Yam HaMelech is somewhere that boats do not go. So what does Yam HaMelech mean? It doesn't stam mean an ocean, it means the Yam HaMelech. It's referring to the Yam HaMelech, where boats would not be able to pass. The Rambam, in the second paragraph of Hilchus Tzitzis, what are we talking about Hilchus Tzitzis? Says Chilazon is found in the Yam HaMelech. And he says we find the Gemara Megillah that Chilazon was in the Chelik of Binyamin. So the Rambam wouldn't paskin against the Gemara. So what's he talking about that the Chilazon is in the Yam HaMelech? So when the Rambam talks about the Yam HaMelech, he's not the Yam HaMelech is not in the Chelik of Binyamin. So when the Rambam is talking about the Yam HaMelech, he's not talking about the Yam HaMelech as we know it. He means as opposed to a freshwater body of water. It means an ocean. It means salt water. When he says Yam HaMelech, it means an ocean. So according to that, in our sugya also, where there's a difference in Yam HaMelech and other Naharos, it could be very well the Rambam would understand that it doesn't necessarily mean Yam HaMelech, it means salt water. And what's the difference? Because you could throw it into the Yam HaMelech without crushing it up, because it's an ocean, it's giant, and probably no one's ever going to find it. Plus, it's likely going to ruin the chametz. Whereas if you throw it into a non Yam HaMelech, so then it's small enough that someone might come to find it. So that might be a difference between Rashi and the Rambam over here. But anyway, that is Rabba's shita, that when it comes to Avodah Zarah, you don't need to grind it up. Chametz, you do need to crush it up before throwing it into the water. Amalei Rav Yosef Adrabba Ipcha Mistavra. He says, no, I would say the opposite. Avodah Zarah de lo memisa by yishchika. When disposing of Avodah Zarah, once it goes into the water, what's going to happen to it? It will just float around the water. It's not going to become dissolved. So that you should really crush it up. Chametz de memis lo by yipirur. But chametz, when you throw it into any water, ultimately it will become dissolved. You throw bread into water, it will fall apart on its own. So there's no reason for you to crush it up first. Tanya Kavaseh de Rabba, Tanya Kavaseh de Rav Yosef. Each one is a price that seems to support them, and by definition, is a kasha on the other shita. And the other shita is going to have to deal with it. Tanya Kavaseh de Rabba, the price that says like Rabba is as follows. Haya Mahalich B'midbar, a guy is traveling in the desert. Mefar V'zor L'ruach. Haya Mahalich B'sfina, Mefarer U'mataliyam. You're on a boat, crumble it up and throw it into the ocean. Tanya Kavaseh de Rav Yosef, and we have a brisa like Rav Yosef. Hayimahalech b'midbar, shochek v'zor l'ruach. If you're traveling in the desert, now we're talking about Avodah Zarah. Shochek, crumble, crush it, and throw it into the wind. Hayimahalech b'sfina, shochek u'mata liyam. Now by Avodah Zarah it says to be shochek. So shchika kasha l'rabba, pirur kasha l'Rav Yosef. The idea of being shochek Avodah Zarah is a problem for Rabba, who says, no, you crumble chametz, but you don't need to crumble Avodah Zarah since it's going into the Yam HaMelech. The one that says that you have to be mefarer the chametz, the Braisa that talks about being mefarer the chametz, is a problem to Rav Yosef, who says that there's no sense in being mefarer the chametz. The ocean will take care of it on its own. So says Gemara, each one could resolve the problem from the other Braisa. Shchikol l'Rabba lo kasha, hal Yam HaMelech hal l'shar naharos. When the Rabba Rava would say when the Braisa talks about crumbling, crushing the Avodah Zarah, it's talking about if you happen to be throwing the Avodah Zarah into some other river other than the Yam HaMelech. When you throw it into the Yam HaMelech, say Nachinami, you don't need to crumble it up. But over here, you're throwing it into some other river. Pir Rav Yosef lo kasha, the idea of crumbling the chametz is not a kasha on Rav Yosef. Habchiti habinahama. It depends whether you're talking about bread or wheat. If you're talking about actual kernels of wheat, so then you're going to need to crumble it up because the water is not actually going to dissolve it. Bread, the water would dissolve. So that's why you wouldn't need to crumble up the bread. Now, why is it that we need to be mefar the chametz? What's the svar over here? Let's even when we're zora leruach, when we're zorik leruach, when we throw it into the wind. Why do we need to crumble it up? So Rashi says because it's a chashash. You're going to throw away a whole loaf of bread and just throw it up in the air, someone else is going to find it and they're going to eat it. So to prevent someone else from eating it, that's why you have to do it. And that's what Rashi writes in Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Gimel also, when it comes to the Avodah Zarah. There's an Isra not from the Avodah Zarah. You're just going to throw it, be'en, someone else is going to find it, someone else is going to use it. So it sounds like it's not part of the chiyuv of the destroying of the item. Rather, it's a takana mit rabbanan shemi yavali de takala. Meaning, it's not the definition of getting rid of it is being mefarer. It's just shema yevuli de takala. Someone else might come to find it. In Shulchan Aruch Rav, he says that if that's the Shulchan Aruch Rav spells it out in Taf Mem Hei in the Kuntres Achron, that is very clear according to Rashi Luchara that it's only din d'rabbanan. However, the Rambam in the seventh parak of Hilchos Avodah Zarah says that it's a mitzvah sasei to be ma'avid Avodah Zarah, and Parak Ches the Rambam writes, Ketzad ma'avid Avodah Zarah misham sheha. How does one go about being ma'avid Avodah Zarah to fulfill this mitzvah sasei d'oraisa? Shalchek v'zara l'ruach. Sounds from the Lashon of the Rambam that it's part of the definition of how we destroy it, that the Ibud involves crumbling it up as well, crushing it up as well, and that's therefore part of the mitzvah d'oraisa. So that's what it sounds like. That it might be a machlokas Rashi in the Rambam. One other ha'ara over here, the Chazon Ish raises the kasha, that let's say a person before Pesach ever begins will take his chametz and throw it into the ocean without crumbling it up. Did he violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh when Pesach starts? Certainly not. No one would say such a person is in violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. He successfully has gotten rid of his chametz. So l'chora, it would make sense that if he would have chametz after the Zman Issa already began, and he gets rid of it in the same way, that it would also work, that he does not violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. And l'chora, he therefore has fulfilled his mitzvah of Tashbisu. He's done his mitzvah of destroying the chametz. But that's against our Gemara. Our Gemara sounds like, according to Rabbah, you need to be mefarer the chametz when you throw it into the river. And by Chitim, even Rav Yosef would be moda that you need to crumble up the raw wheat when you throw it away. And l'chora, that same chametz before Pesach, if you just throw it into the river, you would avoid violating Bal Yirah. What emerges from here, says the Chazon Ish, is that the geder of how to avoid Bal Yirah is different than the geder of how to do the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Not everything you do to get rid of chametz to avoid Bal Yirah will also fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu, of destroying chametz. The way the Chazon Ish says it is, the isra of Bal Yirah is that you shouldn't have chametz in your possession. You have to make sure you are not the owner of chametz. The mitzvah of Tashbisu is the hashbisu min ha'olam, not just the hashbisu min reshuso, not just to destroy it from your own reshus. No, it's hashbisu min ha'olam, it's to destroy the chametz from the world. That's the idea of the mitzvah of Tashbisu. Okay, so that's the next Mishnah. Now we move on to chametz shavar lav ha'pesach. So says the Mishnah, chametz shel nachri shavar lav ha'pesach mutar bana v'shel Yisrael asur bana. Mishnah makes a very simple chiluk. If the chametz belonged to a guy and now it's after Pesach, so it's mutar bana. If the chametz belonged to a Jew over Pesach and now it's after Pesach, so it's asur bana. Shenemar lo yirah l'chasar, as the pasuk says, lo yirah l'chasar, that would Rashi points out, the Gemara is going to explain that it's a knas, that since you violated Bal Yirah, since a Jew violated Bal Yirah, so we're going to make a knas on that person, or maybe on everybody, that they're not allowed to get benefit from that chametz, because an Isser was violated with the chametz. But if a guy had it over Pesach, so no Isser was violated with the chametz. Now, why does it say that the chametz of a guy is mutzer bahana'a after Pesach. First line of the Mishnah: Chavit shel nachri shor v'pesach mutar ba'anah. Forget about ba'anah; it's mutar ba'achila also. Why does it have to say the chametz of a goy is mutar ba'anah? So some of the Achronim Rishonim already asked this kasha. Some of the Rishonim say that, you know, it's just setting up the next case where we want to emphasize the real chiddush that chametz shel Yisrael lachar Pesach is asra afila ba'anah. So to keep it parallel, we mention that it's mutar ba'anah. But in Achinami, it's mutar ba'achila as well. Chametz of a goy lachar Pesach is mutar ba'achila as well. They also are metaritz in the name of the Yerushalmi, that we're dealing with places where there are no egg to aser pas akum. So if you have an iser of pas akum is always aser. Chametz of a guy is aser year round because it's pas akum. So but normally it's mutar bana. So we want to say, yeah, even if you owned it over Pesach, it's still mutar bana. Maybe that's why it's we emphasize hana. However, even though both of those terutzim seem to work, the Bali Iter, quoted by the Torah in Siman Tav Mem Ches, says the chametz of a guy shavar lav Pesach is mutar bana, aval aser ba'achila. While know that if a person sells this chametz to a guy, so now you can use it for anything else other than to eat it. So obviously we don't pass in that way, but based on this kasha, that the Mishnah only says it's mutar ba'anah. The Mishnah never says that it's mutar ba'achila. Says the Gemara, Mani Masnisin, who could our Mishnah possibly be authored by? We're going to go through three shittos in Tanaim, none of which seem to match up with our Mishnah. This kasha ends on the very bottom of Chav Chesam Beis. It's really one long kasha, but the way we express it is by elaborating on all three shittos in Tanaim. So who's the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Shimon, v'lo Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It doesn't seem to be Rabbi Yehuda, doesn't seem to be Rabbi Shimon, nor does it seem to be Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Maihi, what are you talking about? Who are these people? Titania, we have a price as follows. Chametz bein lefnei zmano bein lachar zmano over lov belav. Chametz, whether it be lefnei zmano, meaning before Pesach starts, after midway through the day on Erev Pesach, those the last half of the day on Erev Pesach, or whether it be la'achar zmano, after Pesach is over, it's a violation of a lav to eat such chametz, to get a nar from such chametz. Toch zmano, over lav bilav vikares, div Rabbi Yehuda. But during Pesach, it's not just a lav, it's much worse, it's a lav and kares. That's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Now notice, Rabbi Yehuda is not mechalik to guy, Jew, it doesn't make a difference. Chametz before the zman and after the zman is bilav, chametz during the zman is lav and kares. Rabbi Shimon Omer, chametz lefnei zman alachar zman ein over lav below klum. Rabbi Shimon says, no, chametz before the zman, chametz after the zman is nothing, there's no iser. Toch zmano over lav bekares ubelav. But during Pesach, there's an iser kares and a lav. So during Pesach, it's much, much more severe. And before and after, there's nothing. When we say that the moment chametz becomes asur ba'achila, it also becomes asur ba'anah, that's only going like the Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon would hold that there is no isra anah of chametz before Pesach. The isra anah only kicks in once Pesach begins. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Tama Latzvacha. Hey, chametz asur ba'anah, kol shiva. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is the most makel. He says, what are you talking about? You guys think it's an isur kares to get anah from chametz on Pesach? Who says chametz is asur ba'anah on Pesach? You're not allowed to eat it. That I agree. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat it. But whoever said anything about an isur ba'anah of chametz on Pesach, he thinks that it's mutar ba'anah. How do I know that someone who eats chametz on Pesach, on Erev Pesach rather, after midway through the day, is in violation of a lo saseh? Shenemar lo sochel lov chametz, div Rabbi Yehuda. So it says, Pesach says, lo sochel lov chametz, that once Karban Pesach is brought, you're not allowed to eat chametz. You can't have chametz together with Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is allowed to be brought already in the second half of the day on Erev Pesach. Not so Pesach. Karban Pesach is brought after the Karban Tamid, and the Karban Tamid can only be brought in the second half of the day. That's the first mission in the fifth parak of this Masechta, but technically it could be brought in the second half of the day. Amlo Rabbi Shimon v'chiyef shalomer kein v'lo kvar nemer lo socha lov chametz shivas yom tocha lov matzos. The pasuk already says that lo socha lov chametz, but then right afterwards it says and for 7 days you eat matzah. Imke matam lomer lo socha lov chametz. Why? What's it adding when it says lo socha lov chametz? B'shash yeshem b'kom echel matzah yeshem b'al tocha chametz. Says Rabbi Shimon, when is there an isur to eat chametz? Only when there's a mitzvah to eat matzah. U'b'shah she'enu b'kum echel matzah, enu b'al tochel chametz. The iser to eat chametz does not apply when there's no mitzvah to eat matzah yet, and there's no mitzvah to eat matzah on Erev Pesach yet, mela the Yisra of Chametz isn't operative yet. So my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Yehuda's svara? So Rabbi Yehuda would say, Tlasa Kraiksiv. I mean, where does Rabbi Yehuda get that there's Nisrana before Pesach, there's Nisrana after Pesach? Where does he get all of these various Yisuri Hana? So he says that, well, there are three separate psukim that can be darshan. Pasuk says Lo Yochel Lo Yochel Chametz the Kol Machmetzas Lo Sochelu and Lo Sochel Lo Chametz. So what do we have three psukim for? Chad Lefnez Mano, V'Chad Liachros Mano, V'Chad Letotz Mano. One to teach me the Yisra of Chametz before Pesach. One to teach me the Yisra of Chametz during Pesach. One to teach me the Yisra of Chametz after Pesach. Which is which? Or is there even a which is which? Is it just that there are three, so the number three tells you about three time slots, but you don't actually have to line up one with the other? So in the Chiddush Arad and Rabbeinu David, they say that it's not random. It's not just three time slots. That there is a particular pasuk for each time slot. Lo soch alav chametz is lefnei zmano. How do we know? What does alav mean? On the Korban Pesach. So it's talking about the Zman of the Korban Pesach. So that Pasuk must be talking about Lefnei Zmano. Kol Mach Metzos Lo Sochelu, that's Toch Zmano, because that Pasuk says, Bechol Moshe Vosechem Toch L'Matzos. That's when there's a mitzvah to eat matzah. Pasuk of Lo Yeyachel Chametz, that's Liachar Zmano, because it doesn't say any other mitzvah in that context. It just talks about an Isravini Chametz. After Pesach, all the mitzvahs of Pesach and matzah and all that is over. Already there's nothing else there. All you have is that is. So that's how they understand. Now Tosos writes, no, the pasuk lo yachol chametz is talking about toch zmano. Tosos says mistaver in the Masal V'chad that it's most mistaver that lo yachol, at least according to Chizkiah, must be talking about toch zmano. Why? Because lo yachol chametz according to Chizkiah is the only phrase that would imply both an Isra Achila and an Isra Na. So it's a stronger phrase. So that's the one we're going to apply for during Pesach, because that's the strongest of the three Yisurim. The other two Yisurim are weaker, so they are not about about being in the middle of Pesach. So the Minchas Chinuch writes, Tosa says that within the Shita of Chizkiah, that Lo Yechel has a mashmos of a more severe Isur. According to Rabbi Avahu, that the Lo Yechel is the same as Lo Sochel and Lo Sochlu, so they all imply an Isra Achila and an Isra Na, so all the three Psukim have the same Chomer. So it could be that Kol Machmetz Lo Sochelu is the one that's talking about Tog Zmano. But says Minchas Chinuch something unbelievable. In mitzvah yutes, osal, l'may nafkamina. Is there any nafkamina which pasuk you put where, or if you attach any pasuk to any given spot? So it says big nafkamina. If you learn each zman from a pasuk mesuyam, so the halacha is that in order to give someone an onesh, he needs hasra'ah, and the hasra'ah has to be with the isra in the Torah. You have to tell him what the isra in the Torah is. So if there is a specific pasuk that's about that zman, you have to have the right pasuk for the right zman. You can't just say you can't do that. You're not allowed to eat chametz. Why not? Why am I not allowed to eat chametz? Where does it say? So you have to point to the right pasuk. You can't tell him if it's during Pesach. You can't be pointing to the pasuk of Lo Socha Lo Lav Chametz, which is about to be Lefnei Zmano, which is about when there's a Karban Pesach in play. And Mechas Chinuch says another nafkamina. Let's say a guy in Erev Pesach eats a chatzis zayis chametz, and he continues to eat chametz on Pesach another chatzis zayis. B'toch kedei achilas pras, he straddles the line where Pesach begins. So what's the halacha? Is it normally if you violate Mishnei Shemos, the chatzis zayis of one Isser and the Chatzis Zayis of a separate Isser, you don't get Malkus. But if these are just three Psukim that are all basically about these three time slots, and there isn't you don't attach one Pasuk to one time slot, then he'd get an Onesh. That would be another Nafkamina, says Minchas Chinuch. Anyway, Rabbi Shimon, Chad L'Totz Mano, one of them, you're right, we learn for Chametzan Pesach. The other Pasuk, Kol Machmetzos M'Bayle L'Tani, we need for the following Braisa. That Ein Li Elashem Es Chametz Me'el of Machmas Tov Rach Raminayin, I would only know about Chametz that rises on its own. How do I know that even if you use some sort of leavening agent, that it's also going to be asr tabalam or kol machmetz also chelu and lo yeachel chametz will use to teach me by leil chetetanya for the following price or biyosei glili yom minayin lepesach mitzrayim shein chimutzu noigel liyom echad tabalam lo yeachel chametz v'samach leyayom etem yotzim that in pesach mitzrayim they only had an isra chametz for one day, so he learns it from the pesach lo yeachel chametz where it says right afterwards hayom etem yotzim. So where's Rabbi Yehuda going to know those other two drushes about the leavening agent and about the pesach mitzrayim being only one day? Rabbi Yehuda machmas tavarachem minalei. How does he know that a chametz that became chametz with a leavening agent is also aser? Mida afke rafmana b'lashon machmetzes. From the fact that he uses the lashon machmetzes, but the actual losase is needed to tell me about a different time slot. Rabbi Yossi Aglili minalei. How's he going to know Rabbi Yossi Aglili's drasha that chametz was only aser for one day by Pesach Mitzrayim? So iba yisem mida samachle hayom. It could be from the smuchin. Iba yisem a smuchin ladarish, or maybe it isn't darish the smuchin to hayom. And in a chinami, he doesn't. Whether the Pesach Mitzrayim was for one day or not, my dava ava. So maybe he disagrees. Who says that he agrees with that? Amar Mar, minayin lochel chametz b'shei shos l'malah shuover b'losasei. We had just said, how do you know he violated losasei 6 hours and on into the day of Pesach? Shnemar losochel of chametz to Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Shimon v'chiyav shalom arkein. V'alok var nemar losochel of chametz shivus yam tochel of matzos. Rabbi Yehuda shaper kamalei Rabbi Shimon. So what's Rabbi going to do with Rabbi Shimon's kasha? Doesn't the pasuk seem to imply that the isur of chametz is only when there's a mitzvah of eating matzah? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lach, Hahu l'kova chova afilu b'zman hazeh da'asa. No, that just comes to teach us that that there's still a mitzvah of matzah nowadays, even though we don't have a karban pesach. It's telling us whenever we still have an isur of achilas chametz historically, not about the time slot of on Pesach versus before Pesach. Historically, whenever there's still an isur of eating chametz, there's still a mitzvah of eating matzah. Rabbi Shimon l'kova chova minale. How does Rabbi Shimon know that there's still a mitzvah of eating matzah b'zman hazeh? Nafkele mi be'erav tochlu. He learns it from be'erav tochlu. Rabbi Yehuda mi ba'ilei l'tamei v'shayi b'derech rechoka. Rabbi Yehuda needs be'erav tochlu matzos to teach me about someone who's tamei and b'derech rechoka and therefore can't bring a karban pesach, but it's during a zman, a time in history where karban pesach is being brought, that he still has an isra of chametz. Sal kadei l'chamina hol b'pesach lo'yochal matzah mar nami lo'nechal, that since he's not having karban pesach, he shouldn't have a mitzvah of matzah, so I teach me that he has a mitzvah of matzah. I might think he doesn't have a mitzvah of matzah. Kamash Malan, that's why I need Barav Tochlu. Tell me that he has a mitzvah of matzah. Rabbi Shimon, Tame v'shay b'dar chokha, lo etz rechra. Rabbi Shimon would say, you don't need a pasuk about a Tame and b'dar chokha. The lo gara may oral benechar, because it's no different than an oral benechar, someone who doesn't have bris mila, dechsiv v'kal oral lo yochel bo, bohu eino olchel, avalochel hu b'matzu umara, which implies, yeah, he can't have a karm pesach, but he does eat matzu umara. Rabbi Yehuda, ksiv b'hayu, ksiv b'hayu. Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, you have a pasuk for an oral. And you have a separate pasuk for a tamei and a derech rechoka. So now, end of the question. Money masnisin. So who wrote our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda chametz tama kamarafilu denachri. Rabbi Yehuda holds even chametz of a guy is going to be also after Pesach. V. Rabbi Shimon d'Yisrael nami mishur kashari. Rabbi Shimon holds everybody's chametz is mutter even chametz of a Jew. V. Rabbi Yossi Aglili afilu tolz manu nami mishur kashari bana. Rabbi Yossi Aglili would say even on Pesach chametz is mutter bana. So we're out of luck so far trying to find who the author of our Mishnah might be.